Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here in the sweaty attic of my friend John Lunger.
Oh boy, am I sweating. And I'm here too with my friend Glenn Tickle. And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads, one page at a time, an easy and convenient to listen to podcast form. And maybe you can tell by the timbre of our voice, we're in the middle of a heat wave, so we be naked right
it's
now.
It's a spicy.
Yeah, it is spicy up in the attic. I am sorry that I only have a desk chair and this plush chair, so our sweaty bodies are just gonna feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not good. You don't want to be naked on mesh, you know?
Yeah. Or leather.
No, that's like, can we stop making chairs and stuff out of leather?
It would be, like, I had a leather couch for many years, and objectively, yeah, it wasn't comfortable.
Like, I say this as a vegetarian, but mostly it's just, I've never sat on anything leather and thought this is a pleasurable experience.
My the thing that drives me the most nuts is when there's leather car seats.
Yeah.
Cuz like that, how do you sit in it?
The worst car I ever had, a Chevy Aveo. Mm-hmm. I bought used and it had leather seats. It wasn't like an option,
right,
that I went for. It's just this is the car I could afford.
Sure.
Hated it every day
because it was hot, right? So I need to clarify, because the pull quote from this could be, how do you sit, or whatever I just said that didn't make sense. How do you even sit in a leather seat? It's obvious how you sit. I meant like it gets fucking hot and you're gonna stick to it and it's gross and not comfortable, all that stuff. Glenn's putting us on TikTok live right now. He just remembered he is
a
TikTok celebrity, so there's a demand for that kind of thing.
I forgot that that's a power that I have.
Yeah. Do you want to, you could put that on I got a tripod right around the corner.
We did that last time. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's literally right there in the doorway.
Oh, yeah. I'm all wrapped up in microphone cables.
Yeah, we're sweaty, naked, and wrapped up in microphone cables.
So we don't look at suggestions ever. We don't look at them. We don't consider other people's opinions. I put on Facebook, I was like, hey, what's something you want to know about?
Uh-huh.
We're recording later and we'll be nude, maybe. Just because it was so hot. And then I had that page up because I didn't navigate away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I opened my browser again, I saw it. And the only comment we had at the time,
mm-hmm,
was I would like to know why you were going to be naked.
Oh, this is a real sob story.
And well, the answer is it's a hot day. Hot.
Yeah, and though there is central air conditioning in this house, it doesn't really get past the second floor.
No,
they just, I don't know. I mean, it technically works. You could go over a vent and feel cool air coming out of it right there. It's just, it's not very insulated.
No. Which is,
it's a 100-year-old house.
It's an oldie house. So what I'm going to do now, John Lunger.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you've got nothing but opportunity. You got a TikTok live going. It looked like you had Twitter pulled up. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm a multi-platform social media influencer.
Why don't you just pull up Tubi and see if there's any reviews of your special?
I don't think they have it. I get emails from them now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I signed up for it to see if my special was on it yet. And every day I get like an email from Tubi. They're like, what's new on Tubi? I'm like, if it's not my comedy special, I genuinely don't care.
Wait, so you actually haven't checked Tubi. You've just checked their email. It's possible they just
no,
put
I
it
have.
Up and they're not putting it in their email.
I have checked the tube. What was that sound?
Oh, that's like an automatic air freshener
stink,
in the other
a stink
room.
Machine.
A stink machine, yeah. Well, there's a cat shit box over there.
Yeah, so gotta control that stank.
Gotta try.
All right, so I'm gonna.
You're gonna pick a platform and ask for a suggestion?
Yeah, well, I put on Facebook, I said, mm-hmm, what do you want to know more about? John and I are recording more improvised Wikipedia soon. We might be nude, because again, very hot day. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of comments.
Do you have any that are usable? Because I also made posts.
My friend Ed Castillo, he's the one who wants to know why we're going to be nude.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because it's hot and we're in your attic. Daniel Eli Becker,
mm-hmm,
he says he's for it. Says, got to be nude in this heat.
Yeah, that's on brand for Disney Dan.
And then suggested that if we need any extra nudity to call him. Okay. Offer declined. And then Tim Gehrig of the Timoteo Blues Explosion did ask us how to tie down a kayak to the roof of a car. Now, not something you're going to have a Wikipedia. This is more of a WikiHow situation.
Yeah, and we're not the improvised.
And we're not that. So, I mean, that's what he wants to know about. He's not lying.
And we can barely schedule enough recording sessions to do this podcast. I don't think we should do
Yeah, we're not branching out. Plus, if we did improvised WikiHow, we'd have to get somebody to do bad drawings. I don't know how familiar you are with WikiHow.
You're schooling me right now. I had no idea that drawings were a part of it.
Oh, yeah. They have bad drawings on how to do lots of things. They're all in the same style. There was a pretty interesting deep dive about them at some point online somewhere.
Sounds great. So do you have any usable suggestions? Or
those are the only ones. And then I wheeled away.
All right. Well,
instead of checking your posts,
I wasn't having a lot of success on Facebook.
We had Jack with lots of K's jump in and not say anything, and they left.
Oh, good. Well, I made an Insta story asking for.
Can people comment on those?
Yeah.
I don't use the Instagram stories because, again, I'm TikTok famous, so like I don't want to get too deep into other platforms because I'm so famous on the one.
Right, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Technically, there's 8.
Ooh,
but 4 of them are just blank responses. And so I feel like if you pick one of the blank ones, we should do the page about nothing. Like the Wikipedia entry for nothing.
For just the word nothing?
Yeah. If you get one of
high
the
stakes.
High stakes. Yeah, 1 to 8.
5.
Oh, you actually did get a suggestion from friend of the show, Jaya Peck. You can hear him alongside of myself, Justin Passanova.
Children's late night show producer, Jaya Peck.
Yeah, it's true. He does. And Addison Teal on Escape the Podcast, escapethepod.net. Check that out. But Jaya now wants to know about time travel.
Oh, Jaya. Jaya. There's going to be a Wikipedia page on it. So,
for sure.
Great suggestion. It's going to be a beefy page because the thing is, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's going to cover theories about how it might work. It's going to cover Back to the Future.
Oh, it's going to cover so much. It's going to be H.G. Wells. It's going to have all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah. We're talking early references to time travel and media. We're talking, again, Back to the Future is going to get several mentions. It's kind of like the. It's not the first, it is not the best time travel movie, but in terms of setting the rules for how people understand time travel in movies to work, that's the gold standard.
Sure, for sure. But before we get into
So
stuff,
fuck you, Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd's great. I just mean Ant-Man in Endgame. They're like, it's not like Back to the Future. Well, it's not like your dumb thing either. And look, Endgame's a great movie. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, you gonna be okay, bud? What's going on here?
Well, it's just that the time it's a dumb the time travel parts of it are very stupid. More so than other time travel movies, which are mostly stupid.
Oh yeah, they're all stupid. Name a good time travel movie. There's one I can think of.
What's that one where it's boring and they do it in like an office?
Nah, I don't think I saw that one.
Come on.
Boring and they do it in an office?
It's like three boys.
Groundhog Day?
No.
My favorite time travel movie is an adaptation on the principles of Groundhog Day. I love it. Technically, I think it was called Edge of Tomorrow. Live, Die, Repeat or something. I forget.
They changed it. At one point,
yeah.
Right?
Phenomenal film.
Still haven't seen it. I think you've brought it up on the podcast before or maybe
so
just.
Good. I went into it having read the description of this going, I'm going to hate this. And I got to the other side of the movie. I'm like, that's like top 5 action film of all time for me.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It came up. I was scrolling on a streaming service.
Was it Edge of Tomorrow? I feel like that
was. Edge of Tomorrow and Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah,
one was
names.
The title that it started with. And then the other one is the title they changed it to.
Well, and now it has both of them. It's now Edge of Tomorrow: Live, Die, Repeat. But let's talk about let's back up actually, because we could talk about fucking TV, movies, and books about time travel.
It's going to be a big chunk of the page.
It is. It is. But like, let's piece this apart a little bit and pretend like we're a little smart. So time is obviously a human construct. It's a concept that we as humans have developed to help maybe deal with our own mortality or understand our
Do you not think time exists, my friend? You think it's just not? You think it's like a horoscope? Like we just made it up?
Yep. Time's not real, buddy. We already had this conversation.
It's very real. It's the fourth dimension.
Oh, okay. All right. How do you get there then, Ant-Man?
Like,
fuck you. Go, show me time.
I'm doing it by waiting.
Show me time, you fucking flat earther.
I'm doing it by waiting and showing you that things are changing.
That's pretty good.
On a fourth axis.
That's pretty good. No, I think more it's like, it's a concept that like as sentient creatures, like we have named it something.
Yeah, we called it time, but we also like called it length, width, and depth for the other ones.
Yeah.
And then there's God, so I looked up like the 12 dimensions, what they all are, because Buckaroo Banzai, of course, famously crosses the eighth dimension,
which is
that's the thing. My daughter asked me once. She's like, "It's called Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension."
Yeah, and
she's like, "What's the eighth dimension?" I'm like, "All right, so we have like things are tall and they are wide and they are deep and they move in time, and then it's nonsense. There's other ones, and it's the kind of thing where like when you're reading about it, you're like, I think I kind of get this a little bit, and then you stop actively looking at it, and it's like the silence in Doctor Who, where it just leaves your brain immediately.
Yeah, no, I choose not to watch Doctor Who.
You should. It's a great show about time travel.
More of an Inspector Space Time fan myself, if I had to pick.
So
I tried watching Doctor Who, could not get into it.
That's. I mean, I love it. I named my child after it. But I get it. Like, I don't understand why you don't like Buckaroo Banzai. I do understand why you don't like Doctor Who.
I don't understand.
Or not. I mean, I understand how a person could not like Doctor Who. I understand somebody watching it and being like, you know what? Not for me.
Yeah, but
that's how I feel about Star Trek. Like,
sure.
I don't hate Star Trek. I don't think people shouldn't watch it. But I also don't want to watch. I don't ever want to watch a Star Trek thing. Because of the Star Trek things that I've watched, I've been bored by.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I feel about Buckaroo Banzai.
It's so good, though,
it's
because
not at all. It's
he goes
so
across
dull.
That eighth dimension.
Which is what?
In a very fast jet car.
Uh-huh.
And perfect time, he's there, looking great. You get Jeff Goldblum dressed in the same cowboy outfit that Pee-wee Herman wears in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, because those two movies had the same costume designer.
Yeah, but you're not explaining reasons why this movie is good. You're just listing facts.
Because I love it and I want it to make you happy.
All right. Well, it doesn't.
It's good, though. It's not. So time travel. Who?
God, it's so hot and I don't care.
Who? So Einstein talked about it. But not first.
Yeah, who
like H.G. Wells is pre-Einstein.
Right.
And he's writing whole books about machines that travel through time.
Yeah, surprisingly readable book, too.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now,
never been made into a good movie, though.
No. I was looking for a screenshot from the Guy Pearce one.
Yeah.
Where, because I was looking, I forget why I said I was going to blow up the moon, but I threatened to blow up the moon somewhere today.
Sounds like something you would do.
And I was like, oh, I should get the picture from that movie where they show the moon all in pieces. Because the moon breaks up.
We would die, right? Like, that would fuck up our planet so much if the moon went away.
If the moon went away, it would
Why don't people suggest things like what would happen if the moon went away? That's so much better.
I mean, Jaya, I don't think it would be on Wikipedia.
I don't know.
You think there's a Wikipedia page for what would happen if the moon went
away?
There's like probably an XKCD comic about what would happen if the moon went away.
If at the
it
end
might
of
be a
this
page
recording
in
session.
Russell Monroe's. Daryl Monroe's? Russell.
I don't know. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm
Who
going to Glenn Tickle.
Who makes XKCD?
I don't even know what that is.
Randall Monroe.
What?
You know the webcomic XKCD?
No, not familiar. Maybe I'm familiar and I just don't know the name
it's
of it.
Usually, it's little stick figures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Usually about science things.
Uh-huh.
One that circulates pretty frequently is, like a rebuttal to the idea of, things violating your First Amendment rights. Cause like Facebook took your post down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it says like people are showing you the door. But he wrote a great book called What If, where people wrote in with ridiculous questions.
Yeah.
Like, what if the moon exploded?
Yeah, what if? What happens?
Well, tides would stop.
Yep.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are like a fish that loves an estuary, you're pretty boned.
I mean, most fish love estuaries.
I don't think that's true at all. I feel like most of them are probably one or the other. They're like freshwater fish or saltwater fish. I don't think there's a ton of fish.
Glenn, can I let you in on a secret?
What?
I don't know what an estuary
is. Estuary? So...
I don't want to know right
it's
now.
It's like where rivers go into the ocean.
Hey, oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
And the salt water and fresh water.
Yeah, yeah. So we should not get off track here because I don't even remember. Oh, time travel.
Time travel. We should go back in time.
Yeah. So we were at like who, what do we think the earliest reference of the concept is?
Yeah. I switched back over to GarageBand so I could see how long we've been on.
Ugh.
Because since time is real, you can see it's moving in a line on GarageBand as we record this. Now,
time's not real. There's no time.
Like, I don't think
this
Isaac
episode
Newton
started and ended already.
I don't think Isaac Newton's like, what if we traveled through time? He's probably like, what if we did a lot of great actual science and then like also a bunch of weird creepy bullshit.
Who are the first like humans that enjoyed psychedelics, right? Like sitting around getting high going, whoa, what if we could go to tomorrow today?
You gotta think like
that's like
you gotta
not...
think like cavemen,
right? Yeah,
they probably found mushrooms,
yeah, got all loopy
and
like,
ate it and they're like, we don't understand time because we're cavemen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I get it now. Like, I think I do understand time.
Right. I do love, was that famous, like, that thought experiment that of, like, if time travel is ever invented, it's always existed.
Yeah. So if time travelers were real, then we would know they were real because they would travel through time and we'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm from the future. That's the argument you hear. But also, like... there's people who go around saying they're from the future.
It's true.
Like,
we're just choosing to not take them at their word.
Yeah. We could go to downtown Bethlehem right now.
Yeah.
Walk around, talk to 100 people. Mm-hmm. 5 of them, because it's so hot outside, would say, yeah, I'm from the future. What's up?
5?
Yeah.
Because of the...
1 in 20.
1 in 20, because of how hot it is?
Because of how hot it is, 1 in 20 people in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania right now think that they're from the future.
You're just lucky I am lazy and I don't want to test this theory out.
Do it, you coward. Go outside and talk to 100 people.
No, you'd have to come with me.
No.
Yeah, see?
I'm having too nice a time in your sweaty attic.
Billy Pilgrim, famously unstuck in time. Why don't we just name time stuff at
this
point?
I don't know who that is.
Fucking hell. Days of Our Lives had an hourglass in the opening credits.
Yeah, but they didn't have like a time travel story.
Did they?
Passions might have had a time travel story. And Passions.
It's possible they all
had
time travel stories.
Like a witch. I think there was a superhero at some point. Passions was a wild, wild soap opera from the, I think, 90s into early 2000s.
I've never even heard of that one, which makes me think it's not real.
There was, I believe, a little person who played a doll that came to life, which was...
So they were just reading Goosebump books?
You know, not
saying,
ideal in terms of, like, it's not necessarily the representation you want.
No.
But it was this insane soap opera that my friend and I would watch. I got to visit the set of,
Did you win like a Make-A-Wish thing? Or?
No, I was in California.
Okay.
And then through my connections as an influencer in 2004 yeah, okay. or whatever, sure. uh-huh. I got to tour the set of Passions.
Did you go straight Abed and do a take?
I pooped my pants.
Did you poop your pants?
Pooped my pants on the set of Passions. No, I don't remember. I don't actually remember that much about 2004 as like a whole, but
and that technically counts as a fact for this page because that was in the past, which is part of time.
But we're doing time travel, not all of time.
Aren't memories? Aren't just thinking about past experiences? Oh, isn't that just time travel, Glenn?
No, no, it's not.
Why not?
Because you have to go into the past. You have to move your body.
Oh, my corporeal
through
self.
Time.
Okay.
So what it is, like. You and I are, like, we're three-dimensional mm-hmm. because we can move freely through three dimensions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, fuck you, eight dimensions.
The other dimensions impact us, but we are not fourth-dimensional beings because we can't just move through time the same way we go, like, back, forth, up, down.
So what are the other dimensions?
It's
I know
just,
you said, like I don't know. Name them right now.
No. I mean, fifth, sixth, seventh, like, that's... I don't know. I don't remember.
I think one of them's umami.
I don't know. You're pretty far away on the TikTok live, and there's only one person watching it right now.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know if the look on your face after you throw umami in there, like you wanted like a gold star so bad.
Oh, no. It tickled me, and I quite frankly don't care about what you think in this moment.
I care deeply about what you think.
So we got like salty, sweet, umami. What are the other dimensions?
That's all of them, baby.
That's all of them. Fuck.
Who were some other early writers? Man, the thing about doing this in a hot attic is like...
You lose interest.
We're not...
I'm not trying.
...as smart as we normally are.
No. And it's a pretty low bar to start.
Not great to start with. I'm like, who were some early writers? Who wrote things a long time ago?
Well,
did Edgar Allan Poe have a time travel story? That dude liked some spooky sci-fi stuff.
I missed the first part.
Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah, but that's not that long ago.
I know, but did he have one?
I don't think he did time travel. I'm not big on Poe. I should be, but I'm not.
You seem like you would be.
Mm-hmm. No, I was more of a fan of his
The Bible?
Problematic
do you think,
contemporary.
Do you think the Bible...
I don't think so.
Was that one of the miracles? Jesus is like, you can walk, you can see, you're not dead anymore.
Fuck you.
You're going to 1985,
cool.
buddy.
I'm out. no, as far as I know, that's not one of them.
Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh is obviously, we go to the Gilgamesh well a lot.
Love it. Big fan of the mesh.
Yeah, huge. We're real Gilgos.
Yeah, real gilg heads over here. Well, because he goes to other dimensions, or he goes and talks to the gods, because he's like, hey, you did send this wild man to kill me, mm-hmm. but I do love him very much. So we did...
It's basically Alf.
We did wrestle and depending on the translation, do sex with each other quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But then you did kill him, and I would like you to unkill him, please. But he doesn't go back in time to do it. No. They just make Enkidu unalive.
But
they,
I do think we are in the realm of, like, you know, it's early
no time
myth
traveling.
And folklore, right? Like, God, you got to figure... Like,
Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah. But you got to figure, like, in, like... Mesopotamia and like super 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 early like civilizations,
yeah,
there's gotta be some reference to...
Do you think there's cuneiform tablets about time travel?
I mean,
not like how to do it. I mean, they're like, wouldn't it be crazy if like
I want
Hector
I want there to be those
went into the future.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
it would be pretty wonderful.
I don't think there's any in Beowulf.
None in Beowulf. None in Michael Crichton's adaptation of that Eaters of the Dead, which was made into an underrated Antonio Banderas movie, The 13th Warrior.
The 13th Warrior is Beowulf?
Yeah. Well, it's Eaters of the Dead, which is Beowulf.
I don't know what Eaters of the Dead is.
It's a Michael Crichton book.
Michael Crichton's like, what if I wrote Beowulf?
No, literally, that's what he did.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I remember The 13th Warrior coming out. I don't think I ever saw it.
It's good. It's good. There is a very eye roll montage of Antonio Banderas' character learning the Nordic language. First of all, Banderas plays an Arab, which, you know.
Okay.
He meets up with these Vikings to go back and help them with this thing that's like killing their family.
Grendel.
He doesn't speak their language, right? During the travel, it's just like, it's like an 80s movie montage, but it's him like staring at their mouths and like recognizing.
Is it like in Billy Madison where he's studying for the academic decathlon?
Yeah, I mean, not as ridiculous, but yeah, like, yeah, kind of.
I'm going to check this movie out.
It's a good movie. It's not a comedy, but it's good.
Well, I mean, it sounds, the scene you're describing sounds pretty funny.
It is pretty rough. Pretty rough.
I don't think Beowulf is very funny. There's funny parts of Gilgamesh, and the funniest thing about Gilgamesh to me is that, so it's written on cuneiform. It's like in cuneiform, really early written language, carved into clay tablets. Think about, all right, I'm going to write a story.
Mm-hmm.
The medium I have to do this is to carve it into these clay tablets.
Yeah, hope you spell it right, baby.
So you would think I'm going to be pithy, right? I'm going to keep the phrasing tight on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Gilgamesh, Gilgamesh will show up and be like, what's up? I'm Gilgamesh. I killed this guy. I'm the king of this thing. I can do this. And then the person he's talking to is like, oh, Gilgamesh, you killed that guy, you killed that other guy, you're the king of this and that other thing. He's like, yeah, that's me, Gilgamesh, killed that guy, killed that other guy. It's just like the same things repeated so much, and every time I read it, I just think about like a guy hunched over a tablet just being like, this is gold, this is, I know I'm smashing out this same thing for like the fifth time, and that like, oh god, you can't fit a lot on these tablets, but it's just, it's so, it's like the earliest example of I got a hand in 10 tablets by my deadline.
Do you think
I got 5 tablets worth of stuff
here.
Do you
think they changed the point size of the characters on the stone tablets?
I need a bigger chisel. This is
Okay, so ironically, I think we're running out of time. So let's just rapid fire stuff about time travel.
Okay. Einstein's like, yeah, I mean, maybe.
The Eye of Agamotto is what Doctor Strange uses to manipulate time.
That's the time stone. And then even though they have that, they got to build a thing in a van. God, it's so dumb. The time travel stuff in Endgame is so stupid.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Heavily influenced by Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah. And also not highly, very good film. Highly overrated.
I watched all 3 of them last week in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the Future. Near perfect movie, mm-hmm. into like you're pacing a script or whatever. Watch Back to the Future, it's gonna give you great
mm-hmm.
points to hit. It is like a little too cute.
Yeah, like Back to the Future of the 3, easily the best.
Best, yes. My favorite's still 3. Number 2 is a bad movie. I've been starting fights for the past 2 weeks on the internet about it. Back to the Future is not only the worst Back to the Future movie, it's not
Back
a good
two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's bad. It's a bad movie. They did a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 15 minutes of fun stuff in the future, and then it's garbage for an hour and a half, and then it sets up number 3 pretty nicely.
Yeah. No, I just think in general, all 3 movies are overrated.
No, 3 is underrated because it's great and people don't like it. And they're wrong. It's fun. You get Old West stuff.
Dumb.
Great.
Old West is dumb.
The worst thing about 3, so we all know Eric Stoltz, right, was the original Marty McFly. He got recast. So in Back to the Future 3, Marty meets one of his ancestors who came over from Ireland.
Eric Stoltz.
I forget his first name. The Old West McFly.
Wrap this up. We're in the rapid fire section.
He's like a redhead, and he's got like a mustache. He looks like Eric Stoltz. Like, they make him look like Eric Stoltz in part 3.
Let's see. On The Price is Right.
Also, people think he played his dad in part 2. He didn't. They recast George McFly because
not even gonna try. I mean, it's just
Crispin Glover didn't want to do it because he didn't like working with Zemeckis, and they didn't give him enough money, so he didn't come back. So they recast it, and people wrongfully think that Michael J. Fox played his dad. He didn't. He played himself as an older man and his two kids.
Just gonna keep. Oh, is he done?
Yeah, I'm done now. Piece of shit. Say a time travel thing.
Sometimes he just breathes and then keeps going. Time travel thing.
Looper.
Oh yeah, Looper. Yeah, Looper. That was.
Still haven't seen it. The idea that
it was fine.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is young Bruce Willis. I can't get past it.
Yeah.
You could not have picked two worse people. In terms of making me believe that one is the other person.
No, no. Hart, you're wrong. You're being hyperbolic.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you could say like...
Tiffany Haddish and Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Boom. Like, worse. You son of a bitch. No,
but also
hyperbole.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's great.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis doesn't seem like a good dude.
Yeah.
I like stuff that he's in sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's mean to people sometimes, I hear on sets.
Yeah, the last, I think Ocean's 13, he makes an appearance in as himself, and he's kind of surly, and I'm like, I bet that really is.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah.
Not like in the past couple of years we found out people are secret monsters. I don't think he's a secret monster.
No.
Just seems like a grumpy guy on set sometimes.
Yeah, which
and I don't.
Like Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, not really, seems pretty grumpy.
Yeah.
Pretty grumpy. Okay, time travel stuff. There is an underrated Valiant comic called Ivar Timewalker, which is very fun and very good. And
how many dimensions does Ivar cross?
I mean, everything up to time travel, I think.
So that's four. That's half as good as
it's good,
Buckaroo.
Though. It's real good. They play a really fun kind of like... I don't remember it. I haven't read it in years, but basically there was this really funny run on it where like he had to bring someone back in time and like brings him back in time. And then the guy's like, I'm going to go kill Hitler. And he's just like, it doesn't work that way. He's like, no, I'm going to go do it. I'm like, okay, fine. But I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. And then he goes to do it. And like literally everybody like in the mansion at this party, they're all time travelers there to kill Hitler. And none of them can do it because of the rules. It was very funny. But it's good. Good. Check it out. Ivar Timewalker.
What about time travel theories from scientists? Like, what's Brian Cox saying on time travel these days, you think?
I don't know. I want to ask Hank Green. He's on TikTok all the time. Ask him.
Yeah.
No, I assume he's watching us live right now.
We do have a couple people. It doesn't look like Hank's on here. So... people who are watching, welcome. We're doing Improvised Wikipedia, my podcast, live. That's my friend John Lunger. What are we thinking? How does time travel work? Hit us in the comments, and then maybe I'll remember to turn around.
Wouldn't it be like a real sciencey thing, Glenn? For like you go into like a black hole and you come out the other side of like.
That's
a
one of them, right? You got like a Einstein Rosen
Bridge. Yeah,
where it's they think like maybe, but. Nah.
Well, that's one. You asked for one. That's one.
Sure.
Traveling faster than the speed of light, technically.
Yeah, you get
would be time travel.
So that's your Flight of the Navigator time travel rules, right? Sure. So you go in a spaceship with Pee Wee Herman, and you come back, and your little brother is older than you,
mm-hmm.
and they're setting off fireworks because your family moved because they thought you died.
Well, that's ancient astronaut theory right there. You're gonna love this, baby. That's literally the foundation of your favorite guy.
I don't like Giorgio. That guy.
That's it, though. That's it. That's, like, literally, like, aliens are just humans that left the Earth a long time ago, and it took a long time for them to get back, so they evolved over time, and they don't look like us anymore. That's the real, like, Cliff Notes version of all of that thinking.
Cool.
It's time travel.
I'll allow it. I mean, I don't like that guy. The whole, like, oh, this is, like, a spaceship pin or whatever. Like, they made a gold spaceship because they saw a spaceship, and they thought, it's a flying fish. That's what it is. There's flying fish off the coasts of Peru or wherever, right?
Why can you believe a terrible movie made in the late 70s, but you can't have the
Bunker Bonsai was made in 19 or was released in 1984. So put some respect on that name.
No, I refuse. I refuse. It does make me feel better. I'm older and somehow better than Buckaroo Banzai. Although as of today, Buckaroo Banzai has had more Jeff Goldblum in it than I have.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, there's been zero. Jeff Goldblum has spent zero time inside of you.
Yeah, so far.
As far as I know.
Yep.
So, you go faster than light, right? The faster, or the closer you get to the speed of light, the slower time moves. Like, you don't have to break the speed of light to impact.
You just got
to
go fast.
Like astronauts, mm-hmm. right? You go up in space, you're going right quick.
Right.
Boy. So, you come back, like, you put a watch on. I forget the watch the astronauts use on the Apollo. I think it was an Omega.
It was a Swatch watch.
Yeah, this was one of the slap bracelet watches. Yeah. But you wear a watch in space that you synchronize on Earth, and you're up there for like a couple weeks or whatever. You come back, you're like a second or two off.
Right. Technically, you are a time traveler. Every person who's been in the orbit of this planet has technically traveled through time.
I mean, we're all traveling through time all the time. But at just like the regular speed.
Yeah.
You know?
Why don't you like wind up? We got to like wrap up our section. Wrap it up. So like what's your last big swing for this Wikipedia page before we take a break and I pull it up?
I think the prevailing current physics theory about time travel is you can go forward, not back. Because I think that solves the problem from before of saying, like, if you could travel through time, somebody would have come back from the future and said, hey, here's how you do it. And then we can all just travel through time all the time.
Yeah.
If you could travel through time.
Yeah. Is this a hypothetical?
This is for you. Where are you going?
Where am I going?
Forward, back. Where are you going? You get one trip.
Round trip or one way?
We'll say so. It could be a round trip. You don't have to like start a new life or whatever.
I think I'm going forward.
That's the correct answer.
Because then I have an ability to kind of like course correct my own life or prepare better for what is ahead of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think round trip, one way, doesn't matter. You go forward. How far forward?
Well, not more than... Okay, this is an interesting thing.
You're
going to
go watch your own death?
Well, yeah, that's the thing,
you
right?
can't because you're...
Yeah, so like how far forward do you go? It's a really good question. And you have to assume like you can't go too far where the world, like humanity has already ended.
Yeah.
That's not useful, right? So like the rate that things are degrading now, I feel like maybe 15 to 25 years is the window of like I can get usable information to... potentially improve my life and others.
Yeah.
That's so somewhere in there.
I would say 50 into the future.
50? We're all gone in 50 years. I'm sorry.
50 ahead.
Nope.
Well, because I think about it in terms of my grandfather, who was like a really smart guy, really loved technology and stuff. He was like a radio technician in the Army in World War II. One of the smartest people I've ever met. And in college, I tried to explain to him how DVD player worked, and just the complete blank look on his face was something to behold. Mm-hmm.
See, but you're going far enough. You're almost biffing it without the sports gambling. You're going to see what's going on, so you can come back and figure out how to do it and become a billionaire and take over the planet. That's what
no,
I'm picking
just
up
because
off you
right now. If I go 5 years in the future,
it's not enough.
Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Like, oh, wow, 2026, things are still
shitty.
It's kind of bad. If I go 50, like, that's a whole different setup. It'll be fun. It'll be exciting to see.
Yeah.
If I go 10 years in the future, it's just going to be a slightly worse version.
I think somehow...
of this.
I think somehow you're slightly just more optimistic about the future than I am, and that's why you're willing to go that far.
I guess.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, we're not even going to be here. You went too far.
Well, then I get to the future, and then I know that is what it's like, and I can just, media. However they consume media in 2071.
What if the world is so polluted that, like, it's not even inhabitable anymore in 50 years, and you just die instantly when you get there?
Then I'll be dead, and I won't give a shit anymore.
All right, we got to take a break.
On that note.
But when we come back, we will we'll pull up the official time travel page, see how we did. If time travel was real, we would already know how we did.
Probably bad. Hey, friends, here we are on the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. I'm Glenn Tickle. I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
Hey.
Every episode of the show, of course, we have a beautiful sponsor that you love so much. They like to support the show. We only use things, we only promote things on the show that we use and believe in. So this week, John, you know, the show is brought to you by a whetstone.
A whetstone? To sharpen a knife?
Yeah. Do you got a knife? But you get frustrated every time you try to cut a tomato with it? You get a whetstone and some free time of an afternoon. Sharpen that bad boy right up.
Are you the letter H and you want to weasel your way into places you don't belong?
Do you want to confuse my daughter? Just be the H in whetstone.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you got to get it wet.
Yeah. It's a completely unnecessary H.
Yeah. You do soak it before you use it. It is a wet stone. Get that H out of there.
Do you have a sword?
I do.
You sound cool. You probably have a whetstone.
I do have a sword and a whetstone.
Yeah. I have like the stupid metal one that came with my set of knives. So it's not even a whetstone. It's just that stupid piece of steel you sharpen a knife on. What's that called?
What's the thing? Man, I don't know.
No, well, it's too bad they didn't pay $8. So we're not advertising them anyways. Boy, do I wish I owned a whetstone.
Got to get that whetstone. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
You rub a knife on it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Got to get the angle right. That's the key. Yeah. Get that angle right.
How's like the tactile sensation?
Ooh, it doesn't feel good.
No?
Like, it's rough. I don't like touching the whetstone.
Okay. But what about the act of drawing the knife across
that
the
feels
whetstone?
Nice.
That does feel nice?
Yeah. You like rub it on it. I was worried because I don't like writing with chalk.
Okay.
That's unappealing to me. But the whetstone was nice. It's a little messy. I was using a corundum one, which I was excited to find out was a real material and not just a thing in Skyrim.
Yeah.
It's a building material in Skyrim. You get corundum ore.
Stop explaining
Skyrim. And you use it to make bandit armor.
I've definitely played that game before.
You use it to make bandit armor.
Uh-huh.
Which is slightly better than regular iron armor, I think. I don't know. I don't mess with heavy armors in Skyrim. I'm a light armor guy all the way.
You got to move. Got to stick and move. Stick and move. Stick and move.
You want that sneak skill nice and high.
Oh, so high.
It's very gritty. A balloon. So my children were playing Keepy Uppy with a balloon.
Okay.
We hit it. Name says it all, right?
Yeah,
you keep the balloon up in there.
Yeah.
The balloon fell on the whetstone.
Oh, no.
Popped immediately.
Oh, no.
Didn't hit the corner, like just landed on, but it's so like coarse.
Abrasive.
Boom, popped it up.
Hmm.
Anyway, man, I chopped a tomato for dinner tonight. Oh, it wasn't even there.
That's the only kind of tomato I like in my dinner.
Ooh, got it so nice.
Use promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout to get 17% off your next whetstone.
Whet.
Get wet, baby.
Get it wet. Huh.
What's up?
Well, we got some comments that people can't see or hear anything. And I'm wondering if they mean I can't see anything because there's not a lot going on. It is just you and me sitting here pretty stationary.
Yeah.
In a hot attic.
Oh, so hot.
They can't hear it. That's a thing that people sometimes tell me they can't hear me. But it's because I'm, like, covering the mic. But that's not the case. Huh. The mic is not.
Huh. Well, for those that aren't trying
to watch
us.
So I don't know. It says I lost the connection and then I came back.
Huh.
So I don't know. But they can't hear me say I don't know.
Fuck them. I'm going to read this Wikipedia page for our listeners.
How we do, bud?
For our subscribed, faithful duty cyclers. This is the page for time travel, the concept of moving between different points in time. There is a disambig. I'm going to click through on that. Not as big as I thought it was. There's a page about time travel claims and urban legends, which I'm going to read after this is over. Time Travel is the name of a Robin Big episode, which is, I believe, an MTV show I forgot about until this
Robin
moment.
Robin Big.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it.
There is an Elise's Ark album, a Dave Douglas album.
Oh, Dave Douglas. Another guy. I have no idea who he is.
All named that. You can also see the page for Mental Time Travel, Time Traveler, and Time Machine. Both of those are disambiguous.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but what is mental time travel? Is that bullshit you were talking about? Like, oh, what about a few memories?
In psychology, mental time travel is the capacity to mentally reconstruct personal events from the past as well as to imagine possible scenarios in the future.
Yeah, so that's bullshit is what it is.
Yeah, that doesn't need a name. It's called, I don't know. All right, so here's the official page for time travel opening section. Good news at the bottom of the opening section. I peeked a history of time travel concept section, so we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Heck yeah.
Time travel is the concept of movement between certain points in time, analogous to movement between different points in space by an object or a person, typically with the use of a hypothetical device known as a time machine. Time travel is a widely recognized concept in philosophy and fiction, particularly science fiction.
Going down another button.
The idea of a time machine was popularized by H.G. Wells' 1895 novel, The Time Machine. It is uncertain if time travel to the past is physically possible. Forward time travel, outside of the usual sense of the perception of time, is an extensively observed phenomenon and well understood within the framework of special relativity and general relativity.
Like, you know what that sounds an awful lot like?
What you said.
The thing I said before.
Yeah. However, making one body advance or delay more than a few milliseconds compared to another body is not feasible with current technology. Also, like you said. As far as backwards time travel goes, it is possible to find solutions in general relativity that allow for it, such as a rotating black hole. Traveling to an arbitrary point in space-time has very limited support in theoretical physics and is usually connected only with quantum mechanics or wormholes. End of opening section. We did not do horribly.
Yeah, we did better than I thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
I think we're on our way to a solid tie here, buddy.
It's true. So the history of time travel concept starts with a photo of a statue of Rip Van Winkle in Irvington, New York.
We are killing this page.
It is
page.
A creepy fucking statue. Yeah, I don't like it. All right, well.
Is that the first one?
No. Some ancient myths depict a character skipping forward in time. In Hindu mythology, the... Mahabharata?
Good effort. I have no idea.
Mentions the story of King Ravatiya who travels to heaven to meet the creator, Brahma, and is surprised to learn when he returns to Earth that many ages have passed.
Mm.
The Buddhist canon mentions the relativity of time. The Pasi Sutta tells of one of Buddha's chief disciples who explains to the skeptic Payasi that time in the heavens passes differently than that of time on earth. There's a Japanese tale which tells of a young fisherman who visits an undersea palace. After 3 days, he returns home to his village and finds himself 300 years in the future, where he has been forgotten. In Jewish tradition, in the first century BC, scholars have said to have fallen asleep and slept for 70 years. When waking up, he returned home but found none of the people he knew, and no one believed his claims. So then there's a shift to science fiction. Early.
So yeah. 70 is too, man, that's too long.
Yeah.
50 probably is too.
Nobody's going to know. Yeah, well, I mean, depending on how 2B's ratings go, they might know you in 50 years.
Well, because you think, like, my kids mm-hmm. would be around.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, hey, sorry I haven't seen you for 50 years, but here I am. But they'd be in their late 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I go 50, or one in their late, one in the early 50s, if I go ahead 50 years, they'd just be like adults.
Let's just get into
if
the
I went
early
20 years, then
here.
I could like party with them.
Yeah, which, I don't know, could be fun.
I don't like partying.
It's true.
I do like my kids.
Yeah. Early science fiction stories feature characters who sleep for years and awaken in a changed society, or are transported to the past through supernatural means. Includes Rip Van Winkle, Looking Backward, When the Sleeper Awakes. Prolonged sleep, like the later more familiar time machine, is used as a means of travel in these stories. The earliest work of backwards time travel is uncertain, though Samuel Madden's Memoirs of the 20th Century from 1733 is a series of letters from British ambassadors in 1997 and 1998 to diplomats in the past, conveying the political and religious conditions of the future. I would like to read that.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it keeps going. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Yeah, we should have thought of that. That technically has time travel in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Early time machines.
Well, he's not
mental time travel.
Yeah, as you say, I think the ghosts make it clear that he is not there. Like, he's not physically moved through time. They are just showing him.
I'm going to skim through this page because, like you said, it is, in fact, beefy. But there's a section called Time Travel and Physics I want to highlight really quick. Many in the scientific community believe that backward time travel is highly unlikely.
Like who? Say Brian Cox.
No.
Come on, Coxie.
Doesn't list anybody.
Don't let me down.
Doesn't list anybody. Any theory that it would allow for time travel would introduce the potential problems of causality. The classic example of a problem involving causality is the grandfather paradox. What if one were to go back in time and kill one's own grandfather before one's father was conceived? Some physicists, such as Novikov and Deutsch, suggest that these sorts of temporal paradoxes can be avoided through the self-consistency principle, or a variation of the many worlds interpretation. But it keeps going, man. Wormholes has its own section. A lot about the theories of relativity, which makes sense. Some quantum physics in here. Some experimental results. This is a surprisingly good page. We knew it was going to be a big page.
We did. We called that.
I did not think it was going to be a good page, which it very much is in that upper echelon that we like to talk about whenever we find a good one. This is one of the good ones for sure.
Like, but I think we did a good job.
We did too. And the good news is I'm still not back in my office, so we don't have any idea what the score is. So it doesn't really matter.
We're probably winning.
Probably.
We probably own Wikipedia at this point. By now. This is our website. We'll do whatever we want with it.
I mean, that's what's going to happen in 50 years.
For sure.
That's what you're going to find out.
You're going to find out that we're the proud owners of Wikipedia.
Yeah, and we changed that suggested donation by $1. Make an extra dollar.
Give us $3. Fuck yourself. I'm not giving you anything.
Well, Jaya, this has all been your fault. I hope you're happy. I hope you're proud of what you did.
Yeah. I also hope that you will admit that Back to the Future 2 is the worst one. Jaya is who I'm speaking to.
Yeah, I mean, you value his opinion more than mine, so.
Movies? I think that's true.
I think just in general. It's okay.
No, well, because I've been on his show to talk about Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, and you've been on this show.
And he didn't spend the whole time complaining about it like a dumb baby.
Yeah.
Okay. We just talked about how much fun it is and what a force for good it is in the world.
Is it possible that he saw a different movie than I did?
I mean, there's the special edition where they put the deleted opening that they went in favor of, like, the Star Wars crawl.
Glenn, do you have anything to plug in real life?
Boy, howdy. So the first weekend of August, the 6th and 7th, I will be at the Mohegan Sun Wisecrackers in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, with my friend Jay Black.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. Yeah. And then that's also Music Fest here in Bethlehem. So I'll probably be doing stuff around Bethlehem for Music Fest that week, too. Nice. But I don't have any... Nothing locked down.
Nice. I got something going on this month.
What?
Yeah. End of June, I believe Saturday the 27th at Steel Stacks. Matt Candio and I are recreating the classic 1997 film Anaconda.
Now, does it got buns, hun? Because if not, I do not want none.
I still haven't watched it. I don't know.
All right. You let me know the buns situation.
It's a fun show called Spoiler Alert where we just recreate a movie, just the two of us on stage. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. SteelStacks.org/comedy. That's what I got. And listen to all of Jaya's great podcasts. You could check
Amusing Ourselves to Death.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You can go back and listen to my Buckaroo Banzai episode.
Don't encourage him. Check out Escape the Podcast.
You've been on there. What did you watch or read or whatever?
Oh, God. What did I talk about? Oh, I talked about one of my favorite movies of all time, Clue.
Oh, that's right. You did. That was a good – Clue's great. That was a good episode of that podcast. It's a lot of fun. Also, Gabe Mara checked in and said that he was, in fact, talking about the XYZ affair.
The band.
The bullshit with France.
Oh, the bullshit with France?
Yeah.
No shit.
He's like, it was always a test answer that I never knew what it was.
Huh. Gabe, I am a little disappointed you reached out to Glenn and not me. I'm not going to lie.
I think he said it on one of our posts about... He didn't, like, text me.
Well, that's good. I feel slightly
He did
better.
Text me to tell me, so...
I'm not going to like this. He didn't text me.
It was a Twitter DM, if we're being technical.
I am.
There's a podcast called List It, which I wasn't familiar with. They had it on as a guest... Jesse Thorne, mm-hmm. proprietor of Maximum Fun, mm-hmm. Which is the network that Gabe show that he produces Depression Mode is on, that we talked quite a bit. I re-listened to last week's episode today. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about that show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It's a good show. He was on it to rank like his top five all-time podcast
episodes.
Are we
on it?
No. Well, no. You're not.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
The episode that I called into Jordan Jesse Go, one of Jesse's shows, from the stage at my album recording, he put it on the list because of the Garabba thing that his co-host Jordan Morris came up with, which is what they thought the audience was yelling when I made the audience yell.
Yeah.
And it made me feel nice.
That's good. I'm glad you felt nice. I feel left out.
I mean,
fucker.
He didn't say also, he said, this comedian, Glenn Tickle, called in from the stage and had the audience yell, and we didn't know what they were yelling. I was having them yell the slogan of the show, which at the time was "Get 'em, get 'em, get 'em." But when you have 200 people yelling to a cell phone,
it's a real subtle flex.
It doesn't come through.
Size. I see what you did.
It doesn't come. Well, it was a sold out show. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I sold out.
Stop living in the past. Time travel in the future, baby.
50 years.